Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so Emma, which is my mum's name. I don't know.
It's a great name. I feel like everyone's called Emma, though. There were like 8 Emmas in my class.
Really?
And I felt like I wasn't very unique from an early age. But
is
that's
that
fine.
Because of Jane Austen?
Yeah, love that book. So then you feel special in some ways because there's lots of Emmas, but I don't know. I always wanted to be that person with like a really different name.
Right, like Apple. I think there's a lot of like people with those names now.
I feel like old school names, like Ian and Ethel.
I was going to say Ethel.
Esther.
That's wild.
We're They're the cool wave. Again, aren't they?
Ethel's cool again.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change my name to Ethel.
Okay, so Emma, welcome to the Whole Truth Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you on. We were speaking before about a book that you have released, the second book that you are enjoying.
I'm enjoying. I have quite a short attention span. I get bored very easily. It's why I couldn't hold down a job for very long.
How did you write the book then?
That's a good point, actually.
Because I'm struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I want to do something, I'm actually really good at just going out and doing it. And I binge write, so I'll spend a whole day and just like get it down. I think it's just, I don't like repetition. So actually new things really excite me.
Really?
I couldn't stay in a job for that long because I was like, if I'm repeating what I'm doing at all, I just want to go and get another job. I'm obsessed with new information and learning and just like new experiences.
I love that. What's the best thing you've learned recently?
I guess I'm learning every day in this podcast world, actually.
Yeah.
Finding it really interesting, just the amount of podcasts that are coming out and how people are doing really cool live events. I'm actually going to America this year to do a live little tour because I've got American listeners and like 3 people might come. But the point is, I'm going to go and just meet some new people. And I think it's a really cool platform. So I think podcasting is just constantly exciting at the moment.
I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating because in the world of music, for example, albums are getting shorter. But people are listening to longer podcasts.
Yeah, like they're listening to like 2-hour podcasts.
2-hour podcasts, but they don't want their albums longer than 30 minutes.
Do people still sit down and listen to like a whole album, would you say?
I'd like to think so.
I hope so.
But there's a, you know, we're moving into the age of like, you've got to get people in 20 seconds.
But then what about Lemonade with Beyoncé's
the film.
Visual? I feel like that you had to sit down and that was a long watch from start to finish.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but that's a film.
Yeah.
I think. And also, it was different then. I feel like that's quite a while ago now. You know?
Was it? God, where does time go?
I don't know. And since then, it's like there's a wonderful female artist called like Tariah Whack, who released a 15-minute or 18-minute video called Whack World. And the album is literally 15 1-minute songs.
Really?
But they're brilliant.
Wow.
So now you can't even deny it. You can't even go, oh, this. It's like, oh, shit.
That's perfect for me because I like listening to things on repeat.
Yo.
So I just have the same minute.
Yeah. You might absolutely love it. It's really
check
good.
That out.
Very funny, very creative. So, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I think I know what's coming.
Do you
talk about mental health.
We do talk about mental health.
Yeah. So that question, I'm taking seriously. You know, when people say, how are you? And you're like, I'm fine.
I was absolutely
but
not
actually, yeah. I think I am okay today. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, but I'm embracing feeling okay as being, like, celebrating those moments where you're like, yeah, today was fine. There's nothing wrong with a fine day. Like, it doesn't have to be saving the world. It could just be nothing's gone horribly wrong. I feel like I go into this trap of taking myself a bit too seriously. Yeah. And I'm like, when was the last time you just had loads of fun? Because you're allowed to have fun. And you can have fun until you're,
allowed to have fun.
On your deathbed.
But you know what the issue is that I have a history of having incredibly irresponsible bouts of fun.
Okay, yeah.
I need to learn how to have fun responsibly.
A line. I mean, not that sort of line.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I don't know. I feel like we're just fed all these things and then you make up your own story. I think everything is a story, isn't it? Like, you know, when people ask me, when people say, like, what's your path or how did you get into what you're doing or how did you end up here? I mean, all I'm doing is basically, putting things together in my own brain and, like, almost fabricating a story. I'm, like, making sense of my decisions, but how much of it is just luck? How much of it is just predetermined? And I think when people go, this is how I made it, this is how I did this, I think they're missing out a big part, which is mysterious. But, I mean, I'm a Gemini. Apparently I've got two sides to me. I would say that's sort of true in respect. Exactly. But I'm very introverted, actually, in my day-to-day life. Like, I'm a writer, so I spend a lot of time on my own. But I'm also...
Do you?
I love being on stage.
You spend a lot of time on your own?
Loads of time.
What does your boyfriend do?
He is also self-employed, but I try not to work from home with him too much because it's just like, stop talking to me. You need that separation. But yeah, he's like me. He's kind of free, can do what he wants, and we can go traveling if we want to and things like that, which I love.
When I ask this question, the question is, how old were you when you first became conscious of mental health?
And that's a good question.
It's kind of wild, isn't it? Because there is definitely more of an awareness now.
Yeah, there's a vocabulary now. There's the language now. There's the terminology and the labels. Labels have always been such a bad thing in some ways. Like, no one wants to be labeled. But with mental health, I think labels are so important to be like, oh, this is anxiety, or oh, this is bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
I think the minute people know what the fuck it is, can I swear?
Yeah.
The minute you know what it is, the minute you are liberated and you can find a community, you can talk about it.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really empowering. So for me, I've always been an anxious person. I've always been that kid who just like thought everyone was going to die by, you know, in the aeroplane, or I would worry that we'd get in the car and maybe we'd run out of petrol. Like, I was that kid.
Yeah.
And I think that comes out sometimes when
I'm stressed.
As a kid,
you'd worry that you'd run out of petrol.
Yeah, I was like, I just had that. And anxiety is that, isn't it? It's when you predict a future that is never going to happen.
Yeah.
And I have
that
sometimes.
Or worst possible case scenario.
Exactly, that doom, that impending doom. And I've had that since I was really little. So I'm better now, but it flares up.
Really?
Yeah, when I'm stressed.
Do you find patterns? Oh, just when you're stressed?
It just comes sometimes, like September. And this is the thing with mental health. It's not logical, is it? It's not like, oh, this happened, so this is why I'm depressed. Depression can just come out of absolute nowhere. Like, your life can be great
on
paper.
Well, it's a disconnection. I would argue that there's always a root.
Do you think? And actually, you're probably right. I'm not an expert in this at all.
Neither
it's just
I.
When it flares up, it feels really random. It feels really illogical. It feels like, why? But yes, I think probably there is some sort of very squashed down reason I haven't really dealt with.
So what has been your best period of mental well-being?
I think overall I'm lucky. I've got quite a good relationship with my brain. I don't know. I don't have any big problems, and I want to touch wood when I say that, because I don't think you can ever get complacent and be like, oh, I've got great mental health, because no one is immune to having bad times. But I think in general, I have really good mental health periods when I've got my boundaries up. And I'm only letting in a certain amount because I take on a lot of other people's crap and I've learned not to.
Right.
So that's good.
Well, you're sensitive to other people's issues.
Yeah, like if one of my friends or my sister or someone is having a bad time, I mirror that. I'm like, I feel sad or I feel angry or I like try and get in their shoes to the point where it's not great. So now if someone is going through a bad time, I don't have to try and feel that pain. Uh-huh. I just have to be there. So that's been a shift.
Amazing. Boundaries are something that are really important. Can you speak to me a bit more about that?
I'm not alone when I say that I had a problem with like people pleasing. So I used to just want everyone to be happy all the time. I used to get really nervous. People didn't like me. I would reply to emails really quickly. I would just pander to people constantly. I think that is so unhealthy, especially if you're in like an abusive relationship, for example, which I haven't been in. Probably lower down that spectrum could have been a little bit like that. But you have to stand in your own ground and just say, I'm actually not in the wrong here and I don't need to please you all the time. So I've had friends, like quite toxic friends, I've cut out over the last few years.
Really?
And yeah.
What, like friends from school?
No, it would be like people who came into my life very suddenly. I don't know if you have this, but with the internet especially, I made loads of friends in the blogging world. Like I started a blog 10 years ago and made a lot of friends through blogging and events.
Like Tumblr?
WordPress. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's old school.
But I have loads of internet friends and obviously my friends from school and uni and stuff. And some people just whirlwind into your life and you're like, oh my God, this person is amazing. You're my best friend.
Just whirlwind down.
And then they end up being a negative impact on your life. And you kind of have to cut them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having said that, I wouldn't cut anyone off quickly if they were like a friend I've known for years and years or my family. I think it was very specific, someone who's a new friend.
Would you give them a second chance, the ones that are new, if they came back and seemed to be different?
Maybe.
What's the worst period of mental well-being you've had? I know you said you're pretty balanced, but... Have you personally lost anyone that you don't mind speaking about or...
No, I haven't. But I get worried about the future, like I was saying. So I have, even though nothing right now is bad, it doesn't stop me from like lying awake, worrying about people dying, things going wrong. I'm definitely like that. So try to keep that in check because what's the point in worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet? I have just like random months where I just cancel everything in my diary and can't do it.
Really?
Yeah. And everything's really overwhelming and I don't want to go for that meeting. And it's just this almost like self-defense where I'm just like, I'm going to melt down. I'm just going to cancel everything and start again next month. Yeah. And I feel really privileged that I can do that, to be honest, because I'm self-employed and I don't sometimes need to do the work. But, you know, you can't do that if you've got like a day-to-day job. So I think we need to talk about this so much more because like when I was working in an office, it's like you can't really tell your boss that you're having a bad time.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, are we?
I know. There is something to be said for routine. I know people who are in jobs they don't enjoy would hate me for saying that, but I know that I've actually struggled with having too much time sometimes.
Yeah, there's been some really interesting pieces on, there's one on The Guardian called like how freelancing made me depressed or like how freelancing made me more depressed. And I was like, that's a side of things that isn't talked about as much. So I think it's really glamorized. Like, I'm going to wake up late and just like do some work from home.
No. Okay, so writing is a cathartic process.
Yeah.
Did you realize that it was a form of therapy for you, or was it not a form of therapy? Did you know, oh, this is what I'm going to do when I'm older?
Yeah, it was definitely a form of therapy.
When did it start?
So I started writing my blog 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And
nothing
I was,
before that?
Yeah, I used to write diaries. I've still got my diaries.
Don't lie.
And actually, there's this night called Cringe that's in a pub in central London where you can read your diary on stage. I've done it a few times. It's really funny. So yeah, I used to write loads of diaries, like make collages and write things. I used to like write poems when I was a teenager. I did like English literature, obviously.
At uni?
At uni. And I also did film and script writing and stuff. And Mark Kermode was my like guest lecturer, which was really exciting because I love him.
Amazing.
So yeah, I've always been writing. But when I was working in a job I hated, which literally shrunk my soul to the size of a raisin, I used to go home and just write for an hour on my blog. And I honestly didn't care who read it. It wasn't for that. It was for me. And it was just a form of getting things out. And that's how my career started, as people started reading it.
How did you get that, though?
Twitter.
Really?
I mean, it takes ages to build a following. That's the thing. And I feel like young people now just want to wake up and have a million followers. And it's exciting growing it.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
In love with a singer, yeah, but I wanna get richer. Life threw me a bag of lemons. No wonder I'm bitter.
What's your relationship like with music?
I don't know anything about music.
Anything?
I find music a real sticky one because there's so much stigma, I think, in music, and so much judgment, and so much like, you're not cool enough. I think that I like a bit of everything, and so I could never be like, this is my taste.
When you say everything, what do you mean?
I mean,
do you like,
I love really niche bands that I feel like I discovered.
Do you like Beck?
I like, no.
You don't like Beck? Do you like Massive Attack?
Some of them.
Do you like Destiny's Child?
Love Destiny's Child.
Do you like Aaliyah?
Yeah.
Do you like Nelly Furtado?
I did.
I'm going to go ahead and say you like female singers.
No, not always. Not always.
I gave you three. I'm being an idiot. Oasis?
No, that's not true at all.
Oasis?
I actually, yeah.
Blur?
No.
Gorillaz?
Yeah.
You know that the band themselves actually refer to the cartoon characters sometimes as living people, and you have to remind yourself that they're not.
Oh, and like respect them.
Well, I did a gig recently and the band was there and they were like, and I was like, I love this whole Murdoch being in prison thing. And they were like, yeah, man, that guy is just so annoying. And then they were going on so much. And I was like, wait, we mean the cartoon character, right? And they were like, oh, yeah. But it was so real. They were talking about Murdoch as if he was...
Do they do the hologram thing still? Where they like
no, they
put
got
them on the stage?
They
would project the cartoons onto the stage?
Yeah, probably at bigger gigs.
What I like, which I don't feel like I don't think it's that cool, is I actually love 80s music. Like, I'm obsessed with 80s music. I wish I was in the 80s. I wish I could wear
that's
one of those,
so
like,
right,
Madonna headscarves and a leather jacket and just be like, I'm going to go and listen to some 80s. Just makes me excited about life.
Yeah, listen, I love Prince.
Love Prince?
I love Prince.
What I mean by 80s, though. Zadie Smith talks a lot about Prince and how everyone feels like they are entitled to Prince and that Prince is theirs and that... How dare anyone else listen to Prince? And like, he did that. He had that connection with so many people.
So your podcast, Control Alt Delete.
Yep.
So that's Force Quit, right?
Control Alt Delete is
Force Quit.
Force Quit. I liked the name. I thought it was catchy, but also it's a little bit of a pun around like controlling, altering, and deleting parts of your life.
Oh.
Because I talk about bullying. I talk about body image. Talk about feminism. Talk about toxic friends. So yeah, there's like a play on word there.
I love that.
Yeah, I like it.
Body image.
Yep.
I think that's a massive aspect of mental health.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really in this space like talking that much about body image, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm not necessarily talking about body positivity. I feel like there's way better people out there who are doing a great job of that.
Right.
But I watch it and I am admiring it.
Yeah.
And I love it because the whole part of that section of my book is about how me and my friends learned how to Photoshop our own bodies online when we were about 11.
Really?
Like we knew how to like chisel away stuff and cover up things. And I think
you had Photoshop when you were 11.
Yeah, we were quite nerdy. I just feel like that is a massive part of body dysmorphia.
Yeah,
and
massively.
Like, not liking yourself because you like your online image more. And actually, I was talking to a friend of mine last night who's also an author, and she was saying that she had this photo shoot recently. And she was like, I don't even look like those images. Like, I can't even live up to myself because of this amazing
software.
Picture this person took and the Photoshop that was done on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit tricky. You've just got to like yourself, but it's hard.
So you say you have a reasonably balanced life in terms of your relationship with your mind, although you have some occasional
blips. Yep.
So when they blip, are there any techniques you have to balance yourself?
Yes. I go for a walk, get fresh air. Normally, I just haven't had any fresh air. Literally, I've just been inside too long. Or something's playing around in my head and I just need to like change up my location or my environment. So that's the first thing.
Yes.
I've learned how to breathe properly. I don't know if you know Poppy Jamie, who's the founder of Happy Not Perfect, which is a mental health app. She taught me how to breathe. Like, you don't raise your shoulders and go like that. You breathe with like your belly. And so I've learned a lot about, I don't do yoga that regularly, but I know how to sit down and breathe properly. Mm. And it really, really calms you down.
Yeah, I should.
Sometimes you need a hug because hug releases endorphins, apparently.
If you hug for more than 10 seconds.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know.
I think.
So it can't be like a quick, like busy hug.
Yeah.
Sometimes
the people think that you're attacking them.
Yeah, can't be a stranger in the street.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I just like tell someone how I'm feeling and just sharing that. Not in a like burden way, just in a like sharing way.
Why do you say not in a burden way then?
Because I know it's not a burden. I used to think it was a burden and it's not.
Uh-huh.
Unlearning that I think it's a burden. And telling my friends that it's not a burden if they text me.
So
deleting that word basically.
Yeah.
The minute I say it, I did it last night actually with two of my best friends. They were like, how are you? And I was like, and because something had happened. And I was like, something small.
Mm.
And I just said, and they were like, and just the way that they responded to me and the fact that I shared it, I felt a million
so
times
better. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important. That's another thing we push for with the whole charity. We have, there was a scheme last year called Peer-to-Peer through YMCA. And yeah, because it's actually really difficult as well, holding space for someone else. I know that's something I've had to try and unlearn a little bit in terms of my relationship with masculinity in that respect, because I think I always try and fix things. And I say masculinity, not being a man, because the fixing thing doesn't always work, you know.
I used to be a fixer. So. And I think that I actually drove away a few people who were having problems, you know, temporarily. Someone, a friend of mine, was having a bad time. And I hadn't read those articles, you know, those articles that are like 10 things not to say to your depressed friend. Now those are on the internet and I would be reading it like, oh shit, I've said everything. I've said like, cheer up, love. Or I've said like, but the sun's shining. Why do you feel sad? What can I do? What's happened? Shall I do this? Shall I do that? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you literally just need to sit down next to them and be like, I'm listening.
Mm.
I didn't know that. I thought I had to fix it.
Neither did I.
So that's been amazing learning that.
So we have an initiative called Whole Hour. If you had an hour in your day to not be connected to the world of technology, what would you do?
Write.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or read a book.
So what's next for you?
A few things, but annoyingly that I haven't announced them myself yet, so I don't want to say it. But really exciting things to do with the podcast. I think I mentioned that some live shows I'm doing in the UK and also in America, and then some other book stuff.
Emma, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
You
are absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, wicked.
Thanks.
That was Whole Truth Podcast. You're right, everyone. Really appreciate you listening. So make sure that you subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Acast.
Powered by Spirit Studios.